Energy is evolving. New technology and the shift towards low carbon are changing the way businesses can function. To help make sense of this changing energy landscape, some of those at the heart of the conversation speak to the Future of Business Energy podcast from Empower Business Solutions Energy HQ. I'm Juliana Needham. In this series, you'll hear the latest views, ideas, and insights from leading experts and influencers. The way we generate and use energy is changing, but what kind of leadership do we need to future-proof our sector? And how can we actively include women in the energy transition to ensure that we maximise the opportunities ahead? Many women have excelled in the industry, and more than half of the names on ED's 30 under 30 list this year were female. But 42% of UK energy companies still have an all-male board. In this episode, we celebrate the rising stars of the market and understand how women can raise their profile within the industry. I spoke to Kate Derrick, who's head of new business at Empower Business Solutions, to Julia Usai, a global utilities buyer for GlaxoSmithKline, and to Jazz Rabadia, energy and sustainability director for WeWork. So welcome and thank you all for coming. To begin with, how does the energy sector fare when it comes to diversity?
I think it's come a really long way. When I first started, it wasn't unusual to go to events that were full of scantily clad women, like akin to motocross. And it was a very male-dominated environment and you were looked at like a bit of an alien when you rocked up. Events aren't like that anymore. I think they've changed an awful lot. I certainly don't feel that way. And there's more women when you go to these things, but still not enough probably, or still not the amount you might expect to see.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Even if I think about my university days, when I started, I did an MSc, City University, and out of 40 students, it was only 3 women. So that's less than 10%. Wow. I went back to the university a few years ago to give a lecture, and it was literally like a 50-50 split. So that is telling me how long the industry has come the last 10 years.
And your degree was in energy?
Yeah, energy, renewable technology and economics, same as Jazz.
Yeah, a little bit controversial. So I also was the only woman on my course. I studied mechanical engineering, went on to study a master's in energy, also one of few women, and entered the energy industry as one of the only women in the team that I started in. But I actually thought that really helped me grow within the role, because I was different. I was young. I was female. I was Asian. Very different to my counterparts and my peers. And actually that difference is what I think helped me excel, because I brought a different idea to the table, a different point of view. And I think that my experience tells me that we need more people, diverse across gender, race, age, whatever it is, to come through the pipeline and bring different ideas, because we can't keep doing the same things in the same way. So there's definitely a much better kind of gender balance and a diversity balance than there was when I first joined the industry, but there is still more work to do.
And you mentioned different ideas. What else does a diverse workforce mean?
I think the beauty of the energy industry is that you don't have to come from any particular background to succeed. So you don't have to be an engineer. You don't have to be from a sustainability background. You can be a geographer, an accountant, a lawyer, you know, somebody that understands operations. But as long as you can kind of bring leadership, influence, creativity, problem solving to the table, then you will flourish. And I think that's the message that we need to get out there, so as to attract a more diverse workforce.
In terms of being part of the industry, historically it's been a very an industry that's led by its technical skills, and any sales that was done was sold in a very technical way based on what the customer needs, and all of that has a place and a value. But I think you bring yourself to the table and you add a different dynamic. So where I am, I very much lead with a sales edge. I'm not an energy expert. I've learnt a lot over a long career in the industry, but I don't profess to be that expert. There is plenty of technical capability for people to be that, but by adding something different to it, so a different sales edge, I think it just takes the industry forward again. And it's what you bring, whatever that individual thing is that you do, that you bring to it, is what just pushes it on again.
So could you give examples of where you've encountered a particular challenge in your career and how you've gone about overcoming that?
So I've got a whole list. I'd say very early on in my career, I kind of came across a particular challenge. So as the only female in the team and a very young female at the time, just straight from university as a graduate, started within an energy team and was handed the post. So everybody thought that I was a team secretary, you know, I must handle all of the admin, which is absolutely no problem with, but I wasn't, you know. I was an engineering graduate. I was there to manage energy. I wasn't there to kind of sift through the post. And that particular kind of experience put a lot of doubts in my head. Oh, am I good enough? You know, should I look, behave differently? Do I need to start wearing heels into the office so I look like, you know, more of a professional, more experienced, etc.? And then I found throughout my career is that actually a lot of the barriers were in my head. And the best way to overcome them was to just forget about them. So entering a room as the only female, I owned it. It's like, yeah, I'm the only female. I'm different. I'm going to, you know, and I use that as an opportunity to shine as opposed to hide away. And I think that particular post-room moment was for me something that said, I don't want to feel like this again. And therefore, I'm going to walk into a room, and irrespective of what everybody else in the room looks like or how old they are or where they've come from, I'm going to celebrate what makes me different as opposed to feel that it's a barrier.
I can definitely relate to lots of post-room moment or taking the meeting notes during the meeting moments. I think I got one quite recently as part of my job, because I look after a number of countries outside Europe. And I went for a week in Asia, and I was the only female part of a meeting room with 30 engineering. Yeah, I did feel a little bit rejected by the environment. But there was a whole week of training course that we did in this facility. And over the week, I could see like the perception that people had of myself was changing. Every question that I answered, every presentation I did, I could see that I was earning the trust. They knew that I knew my stuff. So, yeah, I think that for me was really a barrier that I managed yet to overcome.
I guess I feel quite lucky because I don't feel like I've faced a tremendous amount of barriers in my career. If I was to look back on one moment that I think was probably most challenging for me, was when I joined a company that was historically, I would say, 90% male. And that left you with a glut of what you might class as the typical energy specialists in senior management positions. I think it was a difficult place to go. It was difficult to walk into a room and to be took seriously, actually. And there was times when you might make a suggestion and they would laugh, which is awkward no matter what and no matter where you are. And much like Jazz said, at that moment, you've really got to back yourself and back that you do know what you're talking about and you've got this. And even if you're coming at a totally different angle to it than they are, then that's actually the strength you're bringing into that conversation. So I absolutely backed myself and I absolutely tried to move those conversations forward and help them recognise that actually, because so many of them were the same and so many of them felt the same and thought the same, that by bringing something different, we could move forward together and we'd probably come to a better outcome. But it was definitely challenging and it was hard to stay focused and strong in that situation.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the voices in your head, because I actually feel that those are what drove me to do more, to prove myself, mm-hmm. You know, whether it be going to seek out professional recognition for your achievements. You know, sometimes that validation helps to give you the confidence to enter the room, to embrace your differences, to know that you're adding something different to the table. Sometimes that external validation is really important. And kind of, if you look at some of the things that we've discussed today, you know, that is something we can do to raise our profile. It's not just about celebrating successes within your own teams or within your own workforce, but actually seeking external recognition, nominating yourself for an award, nominating others in your team for an award, because the more we can shine a light on who we are as individuals and what we bring to the table, I think that will just absolutely help the kind of diversity debate.
Who are the rising stars of the industry and why?
I think it's really difficult because we're not known as an industry that shouts about their success. We don't celebrate our success, let alone individuals within the industry. So I couldn't even name someone. And I think that that's almost a little bit embarrassing. Like, who do I look up to? Who are the role models? And I think, like, even this as an initiative is really important. How do we spread the message? How do we shine a light on people within the industry to attract more people, you know, to pursue careers in energy, sustainability, you know, the kind of green, wider green agenda. I don't think that we can name the rising stars because we don't shine a bright enough energy-saving light on them.
From the outside, it's probably a very bland industry, isn't it? It's not when you're on the inside. There's a lot happening. It develops day to day, week to week. But from the outside, it just probably doesn't look that exciting.
And how much of a problem has that been for all of you in your careers, that you haven't had a female role model that you could aspire to be?
I've just become one, is my answer. I think there comes a point in your career where you realise it's not about seeking out role models, but absolutely about becoming them to help others kind of further down the pipeline, climb up the ladder. I love the industry. I've thrived in it, and I want more people to experience the same.
I absolutely agree. And I think there's not... Well, I might not have had a role model to follow, but lots of supporters along the way. And I feel particularly I've been well supported throughout my career with that. So if I think about when I took my last role at Empower, actually a very awkward conversation took place as I was being recruited into it. I'd just got married and the person recruiting me said to me, you know, I'm taking a leap of faith here, but if you're interested in having children, we could share with you our maternity policy. And for a minute, I was a bit taken aback. But actually what he was doing is selling the role to me. He was saying, we're a company that supports that. We want you to do that. In fact, we want you to come back to work. We want you to move on. We want you to show others that that's possible. And I've been on maternity leave twice and been promoted twice on return. I work flexibly. We're very agile. All of those things help me have a work-life balance that means I can have two young children and I can have a career. You know, actually, I can have it all if I want it. But you have to have those supporters around you, regardless of whether they're male or female, to get you there and to make that happen for you.
I think for me, actually, one of the role models sits around this table, Jazz. Myself and Jazz have worked together in the past. It was my second job, I was a very junior person, you know, in a big team. And so from day one, Jazz has really been an example, not just at work, outside work, continuously developing herself. We used to call her Kodak at the time, still now, because it was constantly pushing herself out of the comfort zone, creating and selling a brand, a name. I remember her telling me how important it is for your name to come up in Google so that people could see all the right things and the right project that you've been working on. So yeah, for me, one of the role models is sitting on my right.
Oh, that leads nicely on to the next question. What are you all doing to help promote people further down the career ladder than you?
I do a huge amount of volunteering. So I am a STEM ambassador. As I mentioned, I'm an engineer. There is a massive shortage of young people, but particularly women entering science, tech, engineering, maths-based subjects. And I love talking to them and saying, hey, I'm an engineer. I've worked for multiple big brands throughout my career. And you kind of see the jaw on the floor moment when you tell them that somebody can be an energy manager and work for a company like Sainsbury's or like Debenhams or like Starbucks. You know, usually the question they ask is, Miss, do you get discount? Do you get free coffee?
Do you?
I do. But it's almost the kind of, you know, just what you see front of house in retail is not all that there is. Behind there is this big machine and this big kind of engine room of professionals making things happen. So I do a lot to kind of dispel the myths around what an energy manager does, what they look like, but you won't know unless you're in the industry. You won't know how cool, how rewarding, how satisfying, how important it is, how we make a difference every single day to the world that we live in. You know, energy is all around us. We are all consumers of it, yet so few of us understand the role that we have to play to minimise it.
And can I just ask Kate and you, Julia, how are you helping promote diversity amongst younger colleagues and giving them potentially a role model to aspire to?
Not long ago, I've been asked to become a mentor for two ladies in an industrial placement at GSK, where I work. So that was the Stiller University. They are working towards their dissertation. So I've been helping them to find their fit working for such a big global organisation such as GSK. So basically, giving them the time to talk through what the challenges have been, not just in a workplace, sometimes even on a personal point of view. I guess a lot of it is making the personal connection with women that they're just starting their work life.
Not in a bad way. I don't want to be a role model just for women. Like, I want to be a role model for everybody within my office. I work my hardest day in, day out to push my team forward, to think of new ideas, to put together the year's strategy, to work out how, you know, we're going to make the money that will keep the shareholders happy, all of those kind of things. So by living my day-to-day life, doing all of that, balancing it with an outside of work life that's pretty hectic at the same time, I would hope that naturally people would look at how I work and how that transpires to hopefully, you know, want to do the same and to know that it is possible to be able to do that. And you don't have to sit in a 9-to-5 desk job, low salaried, low paid. You can, if you've got a family and you don't have to be part time, you can have all of those things and still have a career that's flourishing.
What can women do to help raise their profile?
I always find that people are scared because they think that they need to develop their own content. Like, oh, I can't write or I can't record. I find it overwhelming, etc. But my advice would be that it's not necessarily your own content that you need to share, but it's to share great practice, try and help others in the industry know something that might not be kind of very prevalent to them. And I think that there are so many platforms that we can use in this day and age to do that. So it's a simple, and Julie and I do it often, hey, have you seen what this company are doing? Isn't it really cool? Or look at what so-and-so has managed to achieve. How do we get in touch with them so that we can do the same? And I think that we just need to make the most of the people around us and the network and share.
It's definitely something I think we all need to keep track of. I guess it's easy to become quite insular in your day-to-day life. It's easy to get stuck in what you do in the office and everything else and then not look up and outside of what happens day-to-day in your world. I think things like this are really important. I would never have met Jazz and Julia otherwise unless we cross paths at an event, but the chance to have a conversation like that and to, you know, raise the profile in this way means that if I see you guys again, we'll know each other, expand your network again. So all of these kind of things and getting encouraging people to listen to this will just spread all of that bit further.
And looking more broadly at diversity, where do you think the main opportunities are to improve diversity in the energy industry?
I would say definitely senior role. I was reading a statistics, I think came from Energy Institute, Power for Women. If we look at the top 80% energy companies, only 6% of the board member are female. That to me is screaming. It's a statistic that's screaming that more needs to be done to promote women in senior role. If I look at a company where I work, GSK is a complete opposite. We have a female CEO, female CPO. We've got lots of inspiring women there at the top. I think that the energy industry needs to look what other industries are doing as well to promote diversity in role that really matters.
So for somebody coming from a very retail background, retail-focused background, I would almost take it to the other end of the extreme. I feel like we have got so much more work to do in the pipeline. For me, finding a love for energy and energy management starts at home. If we can tackle it at home and then at school and then at university, it will flow through. So if we can clue people up to, you know, we have this world and we need to look after it from the outset, then we will naturally create a more diverse workforce because people will know about it at a very young age, as opposed to, you know, when I found this whole world of energy at the age of 19.
So I think actually we have a responsibility as individuals to make ourselves more credible. I think the more credible you make yourself, the more experienced you are, the better at your job you are, you can really start to dispel that it matters if you're a male or a female, that actually it's the best person for the job that wins overall. So if we play our part in that, in making ourselves the best we can possibly be, then it should just, the whole gender diversity piece should just help us achieve that role. But we have to be the best we can be too to get there.
What does the future hold for the energy sector in terms of diversity? What will the future look like?
Hopefully more women in senior position and more young girls interested in joining the energy industry from a very young age, like Jazz said, instead of waiting for them to turn 18 and decide, oh, this is what I'm going to university, but being passionate from college and high school to wanting to pursue an energy career.
I think the future is really bright for women everywhere. I mean, particularly in the energy sector, because we're probably more noticeable because it's been such a male-dominated environment. So our future, I think, is really, really bright. And I think it's really important that we have that self-belief in ourselves so that women around us and our daughters can have that same belief to go into traditionally male-dominated environments and hold their own and want to do it and find it interesting and want to make a career out of it. And then really it's about finding the right companies that will support them in doing that at the same time, isn't it? And making sure that everybody's on the same page in wanting to make that more diverse workforce. Because let's be honest, around a table of people, if you're in a meeting, if you have a better gender balance or a more diverse table, it just sets the meeting alight. It brings new ideas. It makes things more exciting. It actually makes things more fun because we don't all think the same. We are all very different. And when you work in that way, in such a more collaborative way, I think that's when really good things can come out of it.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of changes. If I reflect back on the circa 12 years that I've been in the industry, you know, it has massively shifted. And so really looking forward to the next shift. So the next 12 years, I feel like we will be much more diverse as a workforce. Diversity in all senses, right? So not just the kind of the gender diversity, but also like diversity in terms of backgrounds. So we won't hopefully all be kind of from traditional engineering, oil and gas, energy, then sustainability. We wouldn't have taken that journey, but actually we're going to come at it from all different angles. So if you think about the role that comms plays in the energy industry, that tech will play, data, you know, all of these kind of skill sets, I'm looking forward to a more diversely skilled workforce when it comes to the energy and sustainability industry. And I think that that's where the future is at.
Jazz, Julia and Kate, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That was Kate Derrick, Julia Usai and Jazz Rabadia speaking to me, Juliana Needham, for the Future of Business Energy podcast from Npower Business Solutions Energy HQ. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe and rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. Join in the conversation on social media using the hashtag Future Business Energy.